know to get hold of, to be able to be an apprentice of Jesus. The Bible is one of them, absolutely one of the key ones, and so is prayer, of course. And so in these first Sundays for the next few months, we're going to be going through looking at the Lord's Prayer and starting in the first line on your screen, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And you know that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that we say as a prayer together. We say it in services. But what was the context that Jesus gave the prayer? The disciples are so amazed by Jesus' life. How does he do it? And they realize it's by prayer. That is how he does it. And so they say to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he gives them, in Luke's Gospel, the Lord's Prayer. He gives them the structure of the Lord's Prayer. And so it is a prayer to be said in a service, but it's a prayer to shape our lives, to form our whole lives. It is a prayer to be said day by day. It's a prayer to be said line by line. It's a prayer to be said through the day, picking up different parts of the prayer. It's a prayer to be said on a retreat weekend, going by line by line, and really embracing all that the prayer is saying and bringing into our lives. And so it starts with "Our Father in heaven," and note first of all that it is our Father. It is our. It's not yours, it's not mine, it's our Father, together. Which is another key reason why you need to be together Sunday by Sunday, because you need one another. We need each other, because we are part of the family together. It is our Father. And then what else does it say? We can easily move on, can't we? We can easily move on from each word. Father. It says Father. And so what does that mean about, well, come with your correct impression, idea of who God is. Because obviously who you're praying to will be shaped by how you understand who you're praying to. And so it is our Father. And it is not then not a cosmic policeman telling you the things you can and cannot do. It is not there. God is not like that, telling you these things that to obey and not obey. And he's not a puppeteer. He won't control your life. He won't sort it out for you, to be honest. He's given you free will. And so he's not a puppeteer. He's not going to be able to do that for you. So if you're coming to looking for God to sort it all out, I'm afraid you've come to the wrong God, basically. And then he's not either a cosmic teddy bear. He may make you feel better. I'm sure he will. But he's not there to be cuddled and make you, you know, just placed over there and put to bed and so on. And because he's obviously going to be far, far more than that. And he's not, then, an old man in the sky. Where do these images come from? It's probably the book of Revelation that's to blame, really, but it never meant that way. So he's not up there somewhere, but that's been an old image of God being very remote and over-dominating and overbearing and so on. But he's not that. He's not what the prayer says. And similarly, God is not, did you know, God is not Father Christmas? Did you actually know? I'm sure you might have realized it at some point in your life. And so there's no point coming to God and asking him to give you all the lovely things you wanted in your life. We'll say more about that in a moment, because there's a place for that, of sharing who you are and what you need and so on. But don't expect God to come up with and meeting up your great long list of things you'd like for life and so on, because he's not like that. He's not the God that we pray to and worship as Christian faith. And nor is he Superman, actually. We might have just imagined that when we pray to God, we expect Superman to whoosh down and sort it all out, and all will be fine. Our God is none of those things. He is not policeman, puppeteer, teddy bear, bearded old man in the sky, Father Christmas, or Superman. So who is he? Who is the God we worship? And again, it's God, very, very important, vital, that we have a accurate idea of who God is. So who is he? He is the Father who loves you through and through. He made you, he knows you, he loves you, and to the hair on your head, he loves you through and through. And we often say, don't we, in church circles, that if you've had a bad relationship with your father, it is hard to get hold of, and that is undoubtedly the case. But if you can, yes, get into place of imagining a good parent and then magnifying it 100,000 million times over, this is the God who loves you through and through. And so much of the Bible just reverberates with that sense of how great is the Father's love for us. It is the theme of the Bible. He loves you, and not just you again, but he loves us. He loves each one of us. You may have come across, I think we've used it a bit before, but this, the Father's love letter, you can't read that. You could Google it, and there are some copies there at the back of the church if you want to take it. But just so many verses that have been put together that speak of God loving me, loving you. You know, When you sit and when you rise, I know you. I'm familiar with all your ways. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I am the perfect father. I am your provider. I meet your needs. My plan is for your future to be filled with hope. I love you with an everlasting love. And so it goes on. So many verses. In Jesus, my love for you is revealed. If you receive the gift of my son, Jesus, you receive me. Nothing will ever separate you from my love again. And so on and so on and so on. So I recommend for your prayer life that you get hold of one of those and just maybe use that to focus round about the God who loves you through and through. For this God is the God of love, loving you. And there's a beautiful verse, I think it's on that love letter there, that kind of sums it up. This is the God you come to in prayer day by day. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that? Just sensing that. I'm sure you do. That's why you're here. But that sense of God loving you, quieting you with his love. And it's like a mother of... I think I used to sing to my children as well. Billy, but I'm probably put more singing for life. But no, I didn't do Freya, but she got it from Jenny. But parents do, don't they? They sing to their children. And that's the sense of God singing to his children with love, singing over you with that love that he has for you. And so this is the God of love, and he is in heaven. But again, it's not somewhere out there in the universe. It's another dimension to our reality, isn't it, heaven? Maybe science doesn't understand it properly yet. It doesn't understand it at all, maybe. But there's another dimension to the life we have, and it goes beyond the thin veil of this earthly life. Tom Wright said, heaven and earth are not a long way apart. They are meant to overlap and interlock and finally be joined fully and forever. And so that sense we have, this God of love is just a thin veil away, just a touch away to come to us and fill us with his love. So what do we do in this relationship? Hallowed be your name. It is love, but it's one of respect, of reverence, to honour, to greatly revere, all of those words that mean by hallowed. That is how we come into our prayer. And then it is your name, because in the Jewish understanding, the name sums up a person. So God's name sums up all that he is. Our Father in heaven who loves you so much, hallowed be your name. So then, how are you going to do it? How are you going to go about your prayer? Well, if Chester would like to come to the microphone, he's going to help us with what was the right way to pray. And then there are a couple of characters here who will show you maybe how not to pray. And we'll just get you lined up, Chester, to make sure that you can get to the microphone. And if you just step forward close to that microphone, then it'll pick you up. Okay, that's good. And you just wait for your line for a moment. We'll just see what happens.
Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street, corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Oh, really, really, really sorry, Lord. A bit of a hurry again today. But so much to do, so busy. Work to do, family to see, household chores, DIY jobs, guttering needs fixing, lawn needs cutting. And don't get me started on what I'm supposed to do at church. So, here goes. Here's the list. Could you please make my boss nicer to me? Stop my wife nagging. Make my children more pleasant. Stop the vicar asking me to do things. Make it warm and sunny on my holiday in Dorset next week. And don't forget the rain that we need for our gardens. Sort out that pain in my big toe. Find that lovely pen that I lost last week. Oh, and give me a bigger income so that I can afford all the things I buy. And let me retire early. Help Spurs be Ajax in the second leg on Wednesday. And go on win the Champions League. After all, you are the God of miracles. You know who wrote this? Nearly finished, Lord. Just a few more things, please. Stop the slugs eating my lettuce and sort out climate change. And keep me safe on my holiday travelling to and all around Africa next year. Speed up my computer, because it's very slow. And stop them keep reducing the size of Toblerones. Sort out Brexit. As I said, you are the God of miracles. Give me a good excuse not to see Aunt Agatha this month. Bless Grandad's operation. And make it easier to find things in IKEA. And bring world peace. Thank you very much. Got to go now. Jobs to do.
Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Thank you very much. We give a big round of applause to Chester and Leah. So no hypocrisy, no false. You don't need big words to pray. You don't need to make a show. You don't need to babble on, is what Jesus tells us. So how are you to pray? Well, there's a summary here. But time on your own, in your own room, is vital for a prayer life. Absolutely vital, as Jesus tells us. And to hand over to God all your thoughts and concerns. So those things that Jez ran through at the moment, that you might identify. I identify one or two of them, believe it or not. And what do you do with those things that are just bubbling away about what you think of bothering you and all that? Well, for in my prayer, I write them down in a journal. God knows them already. He knows all those things. And so I write them down. It's not so much for God, it's for me. I know they're passed over then. And that is out of the way. All those things that bother me about the things I'm worried about or anxious or would like or so on. In a journal, God knows them, and they're passed out. Then, when you got rid of all that, you start to pray. When you pass over all those things that are bubbling away in you, that is the point you will start to pray. You've handed over to God all your thoughts and concerns. You are still. You are allowing God to love you as he loves you through and through. And so give yourself that time, that space, and now allow yourself to respond to God in adoration and worship, giving yourself over to him. And be silent. Be silent. Poor old Jez with all that list there. He's always going to carry those things away with him, because he's still rushing around. But if you be silent and allow God's love to come in and take over and just be Lord of those things, to receive his love, let him quiet you with his love, rejoice over you with singing. It's why the people of prayer who really go deep into prayer say silence is the key way to know God, because you're allowing yourself, once you've given all those things over, for God to come into you and fill you with his love. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's just a thin veil away. Just a thin veil for God's love to come into our lives. And I pray that we'll be building this love into our lives day by day. Amen.